fourth hour, hashtag Fastest 4 Hours in Radio is here. It's upon you, upon us. Blessed bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Hold up the foes. This is the final hour of the week of J Mart and Ramon.
Saw Will Bowling too, speaking of which, recently.
Yeah, he still works here.
Who knew, right?
Yeah.
Is he up right now? What y'all think?
No.
Definitely not. So, I was joking about the first pitch in the last segment of the last hour about how the best thing could happen to Ron yesterday was the Jimbo thing, because then nobody really could devote that much time to the pitch, obviously in jest. Ron has responded 4 times to say he's not ducking the smoke and he's a big boy and he didn't ask for anybody to save it. Nobody said you did. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you've responded 4 times to a joke, flipping comment made at the end of the hour, clearly meant something to you.
It don't bother me, bro.
You and Skip, man. Y'all got it. We going to put this.
I'm poking the 6'5 bear right now.
Yeah, you two have a bit of a frenemy relationship.
You two got a frenemy relationship.
No, we don't.
Going.
He just keeps on saying, it didn't save me. It didn't save me. You didn't realize I wasn't being serious.
Old Skip and old Limp over here. Come on, baby.
Limp.
Yeah. the walk.
Not really limping.
The walk. The walk. The walk.
Not really limping.
Old Skip and Kane are here.
Not really an athlete.
I actually thought he was going to make a video of the throw, too.
I kind of need to get him multiple throws to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's all in jest.
I'm just glad my throw wasn't bad. I told Ron, I was like, were you joking or were you serious? He said yesterday, too, that he was serious about his throw.
Yeah, I don't think that. But I never believed he took a dive.
Why I told y'all, too, why I didn't want to go on the mound. I knew there was a difference on the mound. I thought it was going to go high, and I think he aimed low and short. Young Skipper, the Flipper. That's also a rapper name, too.
He got intimidated by the ghost man on first base.
Stop it.
That was also a balk still.
Oh, it was a horrible balk. The balk was worse than the pitch.
Definitely
take a base. Before we get RC on, Derek in the extension.
Mm-hmm.
How are we feeling? You giving it up, Jay?
Am I giving up the money?
Yeah.
I don't have to give up the money.
You don't have to.
I've got him for another year, and then I can tag him.
What did we say about, we talked yesterday after the show, a little bit, I think, or the day before, speaking of, well, what does this do for Derek? Where does this fan base side with when it comes down to Derek?
Derek's a special case. Mm-hmm. We just saw it with AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Derek's different. Derek is almost royalty in this city for what's happened over the last 3 years.
For the big, what do we have as far as Titans go? The big four or big five? Wycheck, Mag 9,
Eddie,
and
The Freak.
I throw Bull in there too. Five.
I don't even know if I go with five. I mean, I still think
you
there's
go big
a four.
Four.
I think there's a four. And then I think you can start talking about Wycheck, Bullock. I mean, there's guys right there.
Okay.
But if you're doing the Rushmore thing, you got four.
Okay.
If you got five, then yeah, I would agree.
Bull is in there too, for sure.
But you're talking about a third contract now for a running back.
Yep.
Who's coming off of a foot injury where the numbers tell you one story that you have to then tell yourself is a lie. You have to say he's the different one. He's the aberration.
Yeah.
He's the unicorn. He's different. Now, if I'm a fan, I love Derrick Henry. I probably got his jersey hanging in my house.
Yep.
But if you force him to holdouts usually don't go well for the player in public opinion. Usually not. Usually you side with ownership because you want that guy to play, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about how much money he's making and how dare he and all that. I'm not saying it's legit.
Yeah, no.
I'm saying that's how it usually. You've seen Twitter.
Of course, how
it goes.
I've seen one kind of side with it after you figured out how dirty they were, and that's the Washington Commanders and Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. Remember his situation with them? Like, he almost died, you know. But, yeah, that's the most recent one, I'd say. Kyler is a villain. Right now.
Yes.
Debo's a villain right now. AJ turned into a villain.
Deshaun sort of became a villain before the other stuff happened.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. So with Derek in this market, where is Derek standing as far as fan perception of does he deserve it or does he not? Because we ain't really dove into it.
Here's the problem for Derek. He plays the wrong position.
Dang.
He plays the wrong position to have everybody have his back. Now, if he would hold out next year,
mm-hmm.
after coming back from the injury and having 1,700 yards or whatever it's going to be this year, and proving it again, and he says, I refuse to play on the tag or something like that,
right.
I think that would fall on John Robinson and the Titans more so.
Yeah.
But I think if he tries to hold out right now to get paid and the Titans draw a line in the sand,
right,
it's going to be a little... Because we heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Derek was royalty right up until Aaron Rodgers was out there to potentially get. And then we took a bunch of calls wondering, could we move Derek and Ryan to get Aaron Rodgers?
Sure did. So can both be true when it comes down to Derek? Can Derek be royalty here as far as you got rid of AJ, you can't get rid of him. And you need to do whatever it takes to keep Derek happy. But also, will they say, but he's a running back? Also, he's 28, I think, now, or 29, 28. Are they going to use both of those? I love you, but I don't love you that much. Will we hear that from that fan, from this fan base? And I'm not sure. Because the article came out, then it died. I don't think we heard much from it. At least we hadn't really discussed it because Nick Saban and Jimbo kind of took over.
It was a trial balloon.
It was a trial
balloon. It was a trial balloon from his people. We believe that.
Does he deserve it? Or is this just security when it comes down to Derrick Henry?
Define deserve.
It's security. You're paying him now. Whatever you're paying him now, you're not paying him for legacy and what he's already done. You're paying him for what he's about to do for you and what you think he can do for you. As much as that sucks because, man, he was worth so much money because of what he was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're paying him now is about the future, not about the past.
Not about the past. So when I say deserve, if we were to poll each other and the listeners on the show, and we say, does Derek deserve a pay raise because you know they're going to run him into the ground this year?
Pay raise? No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Not a pay raise.
You sign the deal, you do the deal.
Yeah, but I think you're looking at, do we go another year?
I mean, that's technically what it's going to be because he's going to get.
Right, but I'm not paying more.
I wonder what's the best bet for Derek then to justify being the workhorse this year. And you know it's going to go through him a lot. Because do they move money up for him? I've seen that done before where that 12.5 could turn into 16 if they
that's
move.
That's something I think you could consider.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at with him. Because then that'll show what the Titans think of his timeline, too. How long is he going to last here?
Because everything right now is based upon term. That's the sticking point here is term. Even more so than money.
Would you be happier if they went ahead and just, okay, that 12-year due next year, we'll go ahead and move 6 of it up as a bonus, and then you get your base salary?
I think you can talk about that during the season.
You talk about that.
Yeah.
Is it worth it, though?
For the team, you're extending his contract and potentially hurting dead cap later. Now, that depends on how you value that, and this team usually values that.
They do.
And we're talking about voidable years.
Or they've said they do in order to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking about voidable years. Yes. He has virtually no guaranteed money left.
No.
And that's what his people and what he wants to change. Whether or not he sees a decline coming or whether or not he knows it's a third contract and they're going to try to find a way to devalue it, he wants money today. He wants money ASAP. He doesn't want to have to play another year, renegotiate, go through all that. He wants a check scratched faster than that.
I was about to say, well, they do it for quarterbacks, but I remember what you said. He played a wrong position.
It's just not the right position.
Or time.
To me, that's what harms his leverage. Him being Derrick Henry, that's great. Him being a running back.
You know what you're also saying?
Especially when Deontay Foreman did what he did last year.
We'll probably never get another MVP at running back for a while. We can end that conversation.
I don't think you ever will again.
Because that's the most valuable person. Also.
Because I don't see the sport going back to that.
I don't either.
You can incorporate it still by second-round draft picks, but we ain't going that route unless it's a duo player.
We'll talk to RC about it.
As long as the focus is on offense and points, you're not going to see a running back as an MVP unless it is just the most
statistical. I mean, look at the wide receiver market and the money they're getting right now.
Year you could ever imagine.
they're setting offenses up to be quarterback to wide receiver tandem stuff.
Right, and you'll see a wide receiver being MVP before you see a running back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. But then once you get to that, you're like, well, who's throwing him the ball? Let's just give it to that guy.
Yeah, true, but I think the likelihood is, if you were to compare the two, it would be a wide receiver.
Well, if it's a rookie quarterback.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. We'll come back. We'll talk to Ryan Clark. We'll ask him what he thinks about the Derrick Henry situation, what he thinks about A.J. Brown. There's a lot going on in the NFL. And look, he played in the SEC at LSU. We can talk to him a lot about Saban and Jimbo, too. It's going to be good. It's Jay Martin and Mo, 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 Zone, little Onyx, little slam for you. We'll do some Montel Jordan at the end of the show since it's Friday. Ken in College Grove. Ken, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
As I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, thank you. We appreciate both.
Man, I've got some thoughts on the Derrick Henry piece and trying to understand why it's not mutually beneficial for us to extend him in some form or fashion. Because doesn't it help us in our cap space? And it probably gives Derrick Henry some thought process around one of his main goals this season is to run hard enough that he stays active, stays playing, and potentially gets an extension after this year. Yet if we give him some guaranteed money, it takes a little bit out of the equation, and he's going to run even harder because he's not worried about just staying healthy, just to not devalue his stock. I mean, am I thinking through that right?
Go ahead, say that again. He was saying get more security so that he will run harder.
Sure, it's like he'll have more inspiration, more motivation.
If
he's
paid?
Yeah.
I think I will say that. It gives him more comfort. It gives him that commitment of paying him more, I think will result in the fact that, well, you know what? If I go out, I go out. If you don't pay Derrick in the position that he plays right now, you're almost like, well, I got to save myself so maybe I can get another payday. I somewhat agree with that.
I definitely think he's trying to set up a scenario where he stays here.
I don't even know if it stays, Jay.
I think he wants to be here for a few years.
I think he just is of the mindset that I just need more.
For sure.
The subtraction of AJ and the uncertainty of what the passing game is going to be, his camp says, and maybe they went to Derrick. Derrick didn't even think of this, maybe. Maybe they went to Derrick and say, with AJ being gone, you got Bobby Trees who's new. You got Traylon who's new. You also got NWI who's still carving out a path for himself. Who's going to be the workhorse for this Tennessee Titans offense? You are, Derrick. Mm-hmm. So it's my job as your agent, your representation, to try to get my client more money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only one right now in that world that can kind of command it. Look, where are we as far as running backs go? Kamara, was he injured a little bit last year? Very dynamic.
Well, we haven't talked about Barmo's article.
Well, yeah, you brought that up.
He was talking about several guys. And look, he said he believes Derek's going down. He doesn't say it's over quite, but pretty close. But he starts the articles are McCaffrey, Henry, Kamara, and Elliot Dunn as star running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes into a lot of things about Derrick and about how he runs and the fact that he runs explosively causes a bit of problem. So, and he goes through his decline that wasn't just last year, but looking at his yards per carry drop, his success rate drop, all of these. So again, it's a lot of things based on number. But 33 other backs since a merger had this sort of dramatic year-to-year drop-off in efficiency. Do you know how many backs returned their previous yards per carry figure at any point over the remainder of their careers? One.
Wow.
One out of 33.
We know who that one was.
I believe it was Todd Gurley.
It was Todd Gurley.
And then he dropped off a cliff.
And then he fell.
But I think the bigger argument here is because of the way Derrick Henry runs the ball, And this is what, this is actually what Barnwell says. He says Bettis and Peyton, meaning Jerome and Walter, did just fine after their drop off, even though there was a drop off. My concern, though, is how heavily Henry's success is tied to his explosiveness. For whatever comparisons people make between the 247-pound star and other backs, his real differentiator is his acceleration and big play ability. Even after missing half of 21, his 11 gains of at least 50 yards since 2018 is the second most of any player in football, behind only Saquon Barkley. But because he runs explosive and runs the way he does,
yeah,
and his game is predicated on a certain thing, his drop-off could be much steeper.
Drastic.
Yes.
So it makes all sense in the world to try to get more bread then.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I think he's calculated. I think his camp knows we're closer to the end than the beginning.
So does Derek, is Derek owed this? If I was to ask you this, is Derek owed more money?
Gosh, that's such a hard question, because in a pie in the sky vacuum, yes, he is, for what he's done and what he means for this community and what a great teammate he's been and all that. But as a business answer, no.
Okay. I think both are fair. And it goes down to trying to settle on what's most appropriate. Like I said, do you give him new money? I think you probably move some guaranteed money up.
Signing bonus
yes, before the season starts. So if he's 12 and a half this year with a 6% dead cap, and if you move that up to, let's say you move next year's money up to $6 million, $6 million of that. That makes now his cap for next year $12 million to release him or to cut him, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Look, we got to look at Tannehill, because I think there are guys right now that are playing for their careers in Nashville.
Careers, yeah.
Tannehill's one.
Yep.
Derek might be one.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, too. Robert Woods got to find his way to stay healthy, too, and not have, you know, a setback. And I think all things point that he's going to get a fair shake at it. But you also mentioned his age and injuries and everything else, too, coming off the ACL, about to hit 30 or 29, whatever his age is, right? He's late 20s.
So this is an imperfect question to ask, and we'll take Luke's call. I want to ask the Titans fans that are definitely on Team Derrick Henry right now, in terms of, like, the last caller and finding a way to pay him and all this, whoever those folks are, if you're on that side, I want to ask you this question. Do you want Derrick Henry as your running back in 2024? Can you answer that question?
Wow. Yeah.
Because I think that says it all. I think he wants to be here in 23.
Yeah.
But you're creating a scenario where you are going to have to, it is going to hurt you down the road a little bit when it comes to dead cap.
And I think if he doesn't get injured again, he is here in 2023.
You really think so? Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't get injured,
If he doesn't get injured, yeah.
Projection for Barnwell in this piece is 260 carries.
Okay.
For 1,170 yards, 11 touchdowns. And he says part of that is he's going to miss games, because we're getting to that point. Remember we talked about, mm-hmm, we compared him to Frank Gore.
Yep.
Like maybe he becomes Frank Gore. We talked to Rhett. Rhett, we went in a lot of this after the show. I wish we had had a microphone in there, and because he was bringing in a lot of numbers and stats and former backs. And it was a really, really kind of wide-ranging conversation about this. If he becomes Frank Gore... Gore played for a long time. Gore was hurt a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was in and out of the lineup, still punching people out last weekend. But
Only guy I know that, well, besides Frank Gore, that's kind of extended his career to where he's in a healthy state, and he had to transform a little bit, too. Other than Frank Gore was D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, that's right.
And he lost a whole lot of weight, too.
Well, we actually mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah.
Would Derek be better at 230 than 247 if he's playing at 247?
Yeah.
What would that mean to the longevity of his career to drop 20 pounds?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's a different kind of back. So I'm not saying right or wrong to that. Was he shaped? Were you the one that asked that question?
And that's the thing, is that he's at that speed.
Yeah.
At 240, yeah. 245. Where he was breaking over 20 miles per hour going down the field.
Steel.
But what is that doing to his ankles? What is that extra weight doing to his career? Is there an answer to that? Luke in Hendersonville. Luke, what's up?
What's up, Luke?
Hey, yeah. You know, I think they're going to ask less of him. I mean, they have to, as far as carries and demand. You know, coming off the injury, drafting a running back in Haskins, you know, seeing the production last year, with Foreman and the other guys, you know, when Derek was injured. I mean, I think they're realizing he's older. They can't ask him to try to go for 2,000 yards again and expect him to have more than one season. I mean, you know, everyone's hearts say, yeah, pay him because he's done all of this for us. But like you said, like, you know, are you paying him for what he did in the past or what he's going to do over the next season? Maybe too. I love him and I hope he stays and I hope he has a really good year, but I mean, he's getting older and who knows? So just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think they're going to ask as far as his carries. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. What you're saying sounds good, and we agree. I don't think you should be asking that much of him either, but we listened to Mike Keith say 400 carries in an interview with us like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We've heard other people intimate very similar things. I think the chances that they treat him like DeMarco Murray are better than the chances that they start Biden time, because one of the reasons that Hassan Haskins was so valuable to them was not him being a running back. It's about him being punt, kick return, punt, kick coverage. He can literally play on all sides of your special teams.
Yeah.
He's a dude that can be a gunner for you if you wanted him to be.
And he like a 4.4 speed, I think, also.
He's a hammer. Is that Rhett calls him a hammer.
He's 6'2".
Yeah, he's tall.
I didn't realize he was 6'2".
This franchise loves a tall running back.
It's clear. There's a trend here.
Chris Brown back in the day, too.
Yeah.
Golly. So, to the last caller's point, you know, with your heart, you say, yeah. Now, y'all said, or, you know, the idea that if he stays healthy this year, he's going to be on the team again and he can get that extension. What does that actually look like, though? And again,
I didn't say extension.
Well, you said he's on the team. You're right. Let me not miss my words.
I think if he does that, he's going to get tagged.
The tag is probably less than his overall pay right now. I have to look that up.
That's the problem is.
Well, but how much is the market going to shift with more money being introduced?
Maybe.
I don't think it's going to shift a lot.
It's not going to shift a lot for running backs.
No, not for running backs. Not for running backs. The tag is based over the top five salaries, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is.
And the top five salaries don't hit that.
And he's one of them.
He's one of them at 12. Yeah. Kamara.
I think him and McCaffrey are up around the 13-14 range, but I'd have to go to
Dalvin Cook
and check that out.
I think Dalvin's one of them.
Yeah, Dalvin's one of them.
The one thing that continues to concern me is people saying, Derek's just different. Derek's just different.
Yeah,
yes.
Stop that.
Okay, he was until that game,
mm-hmm.
until he broke his foot.
And now he's like.
And now he's more Batman than an immortal. Still great, but he's mortal.
But he's got to. He's got to have all his weapons.
He's got to have all his weapons. And they just have to take care of him.
Yeah.
And I don't, there's many NFL franchises that don't take care of people.
So here we go. Top five base salaries is what the tag is based off of, right? Ezekiel's one at 12.4. Derek's 12 million. Dalvin's 8. Joe Mixon's 8. And Saquon 7.2. Sorry, also Dalvin's 8.3.
Mm-hmm. Again, I just go back to saying this. It's the wrong position. He's the one guy that should have leverage at that position because he's Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the Titans offense is. So do his people. They know how much of it has run through him. And if there's any leverage to be gained, it's no AJ and your quarterback's your quarterback.
That's his leverage. But what
his
does that mean?
Is I'm the guy.
But that also, they knocked him down, too, by going to get Hassan.
And look, don't think for a second that them drafting Hassan didn't also bump the camp to say, we need to go do something right now.
Yeah. I'd love it if they were able to split his time. But the fact that this article come out about, you know, Derek needing more money or would have to is open to an extension lends me to believe that he's going to get all of the time, all of the reps, because this is the other part of it, too. Derek has always been a war of attrition back. That's the one thing I've always just kind of been like, this offense needs to evolve a little bit better, because to go 30 friggin' reps or handoffs to one guy is asking a lot.
In this day and age, yes, it is.
It really is, especially when you have Deontay Foreman, who did just as much on less than 10 carries. That's when it becomes very questionable about what are we doing as a team, what are we doing as an offense, and how do we find a way to pay you when I know I found a cheaper option.
Well, I want to add one more thing, too, because I don't want any of us to forget this. Before the injury with Derrick Henry,
yeah,
the numbers he were putting up were pretty astronomical.
Yes.
He had two games where he had three touchdowns in a game. And he was just going out there and killing it. Yes, you can make the efficiency numbers. The efficiency wasn't great, and he was on target to have over 400 touches last year.
465.
Huh?
465.
So.
Remember Joel Corey the other day? Felt sorry for Derek? Because the usage rate?
If he comes back from the injury and is even 80%, not whatever you want to put of that guy from last year, you still have an extremely good running back. But there is also evidence to suggest through history that you may not have that guy anymore.
Mm-hmm. You've gone from having the best back in the league to probably one of the best backs.
Top five.
Until we know otherwise about the injury.
Until further notice.
Let me say this, too. Let me correct something I said earlier. I always say the fan base sides with the team. And then, Derek, I wanted to know, at least, I won't put y'all in it, because I wanted to know, you know, what side are you on? And we had a tweet that was like, why do you all think fans always sides with the organization? And I just had to say, well, maybe you don't side with the organization and you see it fair. But the majority of the conversation goes towards the one that's never going to move. Well, unless you're Chicago.
Well, you got a bunch of gear for your favorite team.
For your favorite team.
Teams here.
Teams always.
Players cycle in and out. They transfer out now in college, or they graduate and they go to the pros, and you still love them. But I think it's really easy to look at you and also in my heart have envy for the money that you're already making and see you as greedy.
Yeah.
And not realize that the organization is making 1,000 times more money.
Billions.
And is even cheaper.
Yeah.
And just let them off the hook.
Yeah.
It's easy to say you're a greedy athlete. Super easy to go to that place. Mm-hmm. And that's where it usually goes. I mean, everybody, as you were saying, Mom,
yeah.
But the usual chatter
is what?
Is greedy athlete.
Yep. All while they've solicited Sunday Ticket, different networks, paid commentators and analysts way more than players, some players, than the average player, and nobody bats an eye. I'm not sure. Maybe you're DirecTV, right? Mm-hmm. Your Sunday Ticket? Mm-hmm. Has the price gone up?
I don't know. I quit paying for it.
See? Well, there it is.
But the point that I was going to make is...
Good talk.
Yeah, good talk. Let's say the quiet part out loud, though. Deep down inside, we as fans kind of resent athletes making the type
absolutely
of money.
Absolutely.
We want to say that we don't. We kind of do.
Because we don't understand it.
Because we have no concept of it. We have nothing to compare it to. So then we'll see 10, 12, 14 million and go, why aren't you going out there and working as hard as I do for $50,000 a year?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. That's okay.
Yeah, it's
because
fine.
That's entertainment and that's okay. But that's where ultimately the fans will go back to the organization, because the organization, again, never leaves. That's the institution. That's the monolith.
There's a giant disconnect between the fans and the life an athlete lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Period. You can't. Like, we go to Lee Smith's house, right?
Yeah.
We stayed at Lee Smith's house when we were down there. And of course, I've been to your place and everything else. And we have jokes about money and all that. But past that, I don't understand the life of a pro athlete.
Yeah.
I know the training and some of those things that go involved and all that, but like, I see the opulence because it's right there out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I see you on draft night with a necklace that costs more than my car.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It's real easy for me to take that to a dangerous spot from a jealousy standpoint.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, I'm coming after you. Yeah. And if you take a day off, it's different than the guy taking 3 days off from the factory for no apparent reason or whatever like that. No, you better play.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's nobody's fault.
Yeah.
It's nobody's fault. That's just the circumstance that's involved in it.
And there's usually no excuse given to the athlete, too. Because like you said, we go to whoever's house. Hey, we can go to Cepho's. We can go to Lee's. We can go to Mines. We can go to anybody that I know house. And you be like, this is nice. But then at the same day, you know what's in the back of my mind? It's nice, but I got to sustain it. It's nice, but I had to, you know, get my knee scope. It's nice, but I had to break my thumb. It's nice, but I caught a concussion. It's nice, but I lost time with my kids. It's nice, but I lost time at not being able to see my mom before she passed. Like, there's a lot of things that go into those types of things. And the emotions of what we go through is not understood because it's like, well, everybody goes through that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot it's that just, goes into
there's
it.
A, there's, just, there's a huge chasm. There's a Grand Canyon between athletes and regular and folks reality. In terms of the life that's being lived.
Yeah, and again, that's no one's fault because you can't expect the quote-unquote normal person to understand the life of an athlete. And we've joked around this, joked around about this after the show and what have you, is that you're learning more what normal life is.
It's funny when you catch that glimpse where we have to explain something to you because you've never had to see it before.
Yeah.
And then you have to explain many things to me, especially when it comes to money and like financial advice. I've never had to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have no idea what that life is. Scott, we'll take your phone call on the other side and we'll finish up the program. But a good conversation. I know you want to talk about Henry. If you have thoughts, we might be able to get you in. 737-1045. It's J. Martin Ramon, 1045 The Zone. J. Martin Ramon, 1045 The Zone. It's Friday night. Well, not yet. But it will be. It'd be better if it's nighttime because it is scorching outside. I'm not even looking forward to walking out there because I'll be walking with a limp.
Not really an athlete.
Not really a limp.
Oh, we call it a skip.
Nah, I ain't gonna do that. Scott in Spring Hill. Scott, what's up?
Hey, man. I just wanted to talk about the Derrick Henry thing a little bit. I think that the Titans franchise needs to kind of be, I don't know, I'd say gentle or tiptoe around this a little bit because people have lost faith with it, like with the AJ trade and stuff like that. And obviously you got Ryan Tannehill, who he's going to be leaving, you know, a year or two or whenever Willis is ready. I mean, we could go real quick from being Super Bowl contenders, you know, to looking on the outside, like in a complete rebuilding phase. So I think if you sign them, you know, it sends a message to the fan base that that you are trying to win. You're still committed to the win. If you don't sign them, I understand from the business standpoint. I just think it's kind of a weird in between how they're be looked at.
Yeah.
So, Mon, you made a point during the break. The problem here, and you said, you know, it'd be easier to talk about paying him without the injury.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing is this, and we have mentioned this at different times in different contexts, but the lasting impression of Derrick Henry is what?
25 carries for 60-some yards, whatever it was, or 20 for 60.
In the divisional 40? Playoff game,
yep.
He came back and looked
like somebody who hadn't played in 9 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's the that's the image that I keep seeing. And we saw Deontay Foreman look like the better back that day.
And no, Deontay Foreman ain't Derrick Henry.
No, he's not.
We're not blending the two. We're just saying the production of what it looks like says that.
There's more questions because of it. I think it's more that. It's just like there are question marks around this team from Caleb Farley to whether or not Tannehill can actually get off the mat after what happened to him to what Derrick Henry is. What Derrick Henry is returning to this team in the fall? Like, what guy is this?
We got the best narratives it is for this offseason. What is Tim Kelly?
Yep.
What is Ryan Tannehill?
Yep.
What is Derrick Henry?
Yep.
What is his offensive line?
What is Treylon Burks?
What is Todd Downey? What's Treylon Burks?
What's Austin Hooper?
Come on.
What's Caleb Farley?
Come on. Like, it continues on, and I hope these answers get these questions get answered, and they're good answers. You know what I'm saying? For the sake of this team, because as a caller just said just a second ago, like the trust level of what area you could potentially go in while treading lightly around Derrick can be treacherous. Now, I guess we're starting to see, at least with some of this fan base, Derrick has more of this fan base on his side as opposed to screw that, don't pay him. Because subtraction of AJ, I think, really – it really puts you on the back burner a little bit. You say what you want to about the Colts, but it seemed like they're in a good position. I'm not saying they're better than – I'm just saying they're in a way better position because of some stability at quarterback, so much so that their owner even can't stop gushing about it. Oh, we'll see. Hopefully Derek gets it.
Well, let's also say this, too. There was a ton of questions for this team going into last season. They ended up going 12-5, having 91 players on the roster, and getting the number one seed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the unknown, the question marks, because we don't have any guarantees on all that. And another thing I want to add really quickly before we wrap up is that, oh, when Willis is ready. I'm not saying he ain't going to be ready, but I don't think it's just an automatic slam dunk. Let's just go ahead and say, hey, this is going to be the guy, you know, the franchise quarterback. That's just, that's tough to do with a third round pick.
What happens over time? And if you don't see that production, what's the old saying? Out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
This love affair becomes very distant if you tank a little bit, if you have a bad season and you get a top 10 pick or even a top 15 pick in this one of the quarterbacks that you really love and
know
about.
Is the love affair with Willis because of Willis, or is the love affair
because
with Willis
because
he's not Tannehill?
It's because he's not Tannehill.
Not that...
There it is.
Not that there's not some love to Willis, but remember what we've had multiple guests tell us in the past couple of weeks. Malik's probably not going to be active in a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Like,
can I say this too? The people that are around that look at Willis, though, or know him closer, also say, you got a guy. And there's so much of that, but all of it is what until we see it? It's nothing until we see it in games.
Yeah, and to that point on the way out, there's a lot of question marks. Derek may run for 2,000 yards again this year, go right into the Hall of Fame if he does, because he will if he does that again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of question marks about this team. Know what that means? It means you better stay tuned. 6 to 10. And the rest of the day. Buck Rising coming up next. Have a wonderful weekend. For Ramon and Shafe, I'm Jay Mart. Make sure you don't check into God's deal.
It's gonna be hot this weekend, Woo Girls. But remember, your Twitter fingers and your mic and the police department are always hot.
From one narcissist to another, Saban to Buck Rising.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.